8. Aggressive postures are somewhat problematic when you haven't the slightest notion of your enemy's battle plan. Colonel Isidro Legorberu told the commanders of the New Republic Defense Force and a melange of high-ranking officers. Only now, with the fall of 30 planetary systems, the destruction of Helska, Cernpadal, and Ithor, and the more recent loss of Abroaskai, are we beginning to have some sense of the path the Yuuzhan Vong are intent on cutting through the galaxy. Legorberu's upbringing on agrarian Mahaili belied a shrewd intellect and urbane wit. A former intelligence officer, he had served as a tactical aide during the Yavithan crisis, and had since been promoted to director of the Home Fleet's Battle Assessment Division. Let me emphasize, though, that the strategy underlying their incursion remains as much a mystery as their ultimate objective. Exigency had dictated that the briefing be held on Kuat rather than Coruscant, though several officers and specialists were participating via real-time hologram from the New Republic capital and a host of other worlds. What have we been able to conclude regarding their origin? Admiral Sin Sav asked. Fulcrum of the Defense Force Command Staff, the Sulliston, sat at a data console adapted to his smallish hands and capable of filtering background noise, which might otherwise have proved irritating to his keen hearing. As you know, the first world to fall to the Yuuzhan Vong, to be raised by them, I should say, was Belkaden, where the Ex-Gal Society had a listening post. Legorberu manipulated a parabolic holoprojector to fashion a 3D view of the galaxy's Tingle Arm. However, despite talk of an extragalactic arrival, our initial supposition was that they were native to some unknown stellar system here in the central Tingle, midway between the corporate sector and Imperial remnant space. Does that hypothesis remain viable? Brigadier General Eitan Abbott asked. Former commander of the 5th Fleet, Abbott had also been involved in the Yavithan crisis. A Dornian, Abbott had tough aubergine skin and eye folds that swelled and fanned out. Legorberu looked to the representative from the Institute for Sentient Studies, headquartered on Barabu. But before the Ithorian could respond, Sav rose to his feet. I know I speak for everyone here in expressing my extreme sorrow at what has befallen your homeworld, the Admiral said. The galaxy is greatly diminished. Tamab Mulis acknowledged Sav's sentiments with a motion of his long, upward-curving head. I thank the Admiral, he said out of both mouths. Attentiveness replaced the sadness in his widely spaced eyes. Pursuant to the supposition that the Yuuzhan Vong originated in the Tingle Arm, we conducted a thorough search of our databases, but were unable to discover corroborating evidence. A protocol droid at Dubrillion stated that the Yuuzhan Vong language is reminiscent of Janguin, but that trail has led nowhere. We are continuing to investigate the possibility that the Yuuzhan Vong are a long-vanished race indigenous to our galaxy that has suddenly reappeared. Was that area of the Tingle Arm once populated? Sav asked. The Ithorian deferred to the virtual presence of Bean Latoth of the Astrographic Survey Institute. Another Dornian, Bean, was the son of Kyles Latoth, who had assumed command of the 5th Fleet after his friend Eitan Abbott had been relieved of duty. We reject the possibility that a species as powerful as the Yuuzhan Vong could have originated there, Latoth's hologram began. Given the extent of their resources and the size of their war fleet, they would be in control of hundreds of worlds, if not systems, and would certainly have come to our attention by now. At the very least, we would have heard about them from the Triani, or some other species that inhabits that area of the Tingle. Granted, however, the Tingal Arm has yet to be thoroughly mapped. The original explorations were terminated by the outbreak of the Clone Wars. That was one of the reasons Emperor Palpatine granted the Corporate Sector Authority free rein in their corner of the Tingal. Our thinking now is that the Yuuzhan Vong are indeed from outside our galaxy. Latoth paused. Not merely from a nearby star cluster, as was the case with the Syruk, but from another galaxy entirely. Abbott huffed. Any species capable of crossing intergalactic space would have to be considerably more advanced than any of us. On the order of 100 generations more advanced. And yet the Yuuzhan Vong ships have been utilizing the same hyperspace entry points and egresses used by our own vessels. But suppose they have been in transit for hundreds of generations, Lagorbaru said. Imagine, if you will, a fleet of vessels plying the void, comparable to the Athorian herd ships, only many times their size. Abbott waved a hand. I'm interested in facts, not poetry. Lagorbaru gained control of himself. At present we're trying to determine if Emperor Palpatine had any knowledge of the Yuuzhan Vong, as he did the Syruk. Thanks to the generosity of Moff Ethan Soretti, we've been given access to Imperial records relevant to the outbound flight project. Funded by the Senate at the behest of Jedi Master Joris Sabaoth, the outbound flight project had constituted a failed attempt to peer past the edge of the galaxy. Transmitted from Bastion in the distant Imperial remnant, Soretti's life-size hologram was almost colorless and disrupted by diagonal lines of interference. A technician boosted the audio gain. Imperial records do not contain any mention of the Yuuzhan Vong, although it is now understood that Emperor Palpatine returned Chiss Grand Admiral Thrawn to the unknown regions on learning that the Chiss had been fortifying their systems against the threat of invasion by an unknown aggressor. Saav and his fellow commanders took a moment to confer. Are you suggesting that the Yuuzhan Vong might be that aggressor? Saav asked at last. If we could establish direct contact with the Chiss, we might know for certain, Soretti said. But Jag Fel has no interest in serving as a liaison, and all attempts at communications with Nirawan have gone unanswered. Have you tried dispatching a ship? Abbott asked. Soretti smiled. Have you, General? When Abbott grimaced, the Moth added, We have no desire to intrude on Chiss space, and risk having to wage wars on two fronts. Understood, Moff Soretti, Saav said, nodding glumly. He looked at Lagorbaru. Continue with your briefing, Colonel. Lagorbaru brought a close-up of the Tingal arm to the light table. The Yuuzhan Vong are using the central Tingal as a rendezvous point and staging area. Reconnaissance forces sent to adjoining sectors, both here in the Triani colonies and here at Dathomir, have detected a buildup of significantly larger ships. I want numbers, Abbott said. Lagorbaru nodded to the Temerian Idar Neely Kirka, chief analyst for asset tracking during the Yavithan crisis and now director of fleet intelligence. Based on available data, we are now estimating Yuuzhan Vong naval strength at 1,000 capital ships, deployed in task forces and flotillas, comprising anywhere from 25 to 75 vessels. Saav and the others exchanged looks of astonishment. It may please the general staff to know, Neely Kirka added quickly, that the Senate has ratified the Universal Conscription Bill, and that the Kuat, Bill Bringy, Sluis Van, and Fondor shipyards expect to double their production of heavy cruisers by the end of next year. Next year, Saav repeated. The Yuuzhan Vong could be in our laps by then. Yes, sir, but with our present stock of Mon Calamari Mediator-class battlecruisers, Bothan assault cruisers, and Corellian Viscount-class star defenders, we have sufficient firepower to engage the Yuuzhan Vong in multiple theaters. Sov nodded tentatively. How do the enemy ships compare to our signature ships? Neely Kirka glanced at Dura's sheet notes. Rated by size and armament, the fleet is comprised of warship analogs, cruisers, destroyers, troop carriers, frigates, corvettes, and gunboats, along with starfighter analogs known as coral skippers. Reconnaissance reports indicate that the more recently arrived Yuuzhan Vong vessels are comparable in size and firepower to super-class star destroyers. A Yuuzhan Vong warship took shape above the light table. The command ship at Abroa Sky, Neely Kirka said. Myriad areas of its Yorick coral surface are capable of unleashing destructive energy on the order of that delivered by our most powerful turbo laser and ion cannons. The vessel does not so much erect shields as employ gravitic anomalies to engulf or deflect anything directed against it. The anomalies are engineered by organic devices called Dovin basals, which also combine the functions of repulsor lift, sublight, and hyperspace drives. Neely Kirka used a laser pointer to indicate the slender projections that emanated from the command ship's bow and stern. The arms are also equipped with plasma launchers, sealed at the tips by organic trefoil valves. What's more, each carries the equivalent of a wing of coral skippers, which are similarly shielded and capable of firing projectiles or plasma. It was initially believed that the coral skippers were remotes, like the old Trade Federation droid starfighters or Lorinar Corporation's CCIRs. But in fact, they are individually piloted, or at least to a certain extent. By that I mean that combat tactics seem to be directed by a creature known as a Yamask, or War Coordinator, which serves as a kind of biotic battle analysis computer. The laser pointer called attention to irregularities on the command ship's hull. We have not been able to determine why some portions of the ship are smooth. However, certain markings observed on the smooth areas suggest similarities to the symbols and glyphs often seen on the ovoid vessels of the Aang Tai monks. We believe that they might serve as indicators of lineage or status rather than military rank. Lagorbaru broke the stunned silence of the commanders. Since entering the Tingle Arm, the Yuuzhan Vong have been moving oblique to the core. The attack on Abroa Sky may mark the beginning of a push into the mid-rim, but it would be premature to speculate at this point. Well, someone had better start speculating, Abbott growled. We can't remain on the defensive indefinitely. Lagorbaru wedged a finger into the collar of his uniform and continued. Should the Yuuzhan Vong adhere to their current heading, without significant deviation from the ecliptic, they will pass outward of the Hapes Cluster, and perhaps Kashyyyk. But the Meridian Sector, Hutt Space, Bathawi, Rhodia, and Ryloth lie almost directly in their path. Abbott's swelling eyes took in the room. Does anyone here actually believe that the Yuuzhan Vong are merely passing through, destroying worlds, and sacrificing populations on a whim? When no one answered, he added, What are our options if they swing toward the core? Neely Kirka directed the holoprojector to display a disposition of the main fleets. Admiral Pelion has returned the ships under his command to the Imperial Remnant, to safeguard it from invasion. Elements of the Third and Fourth Fleets are spread along the Hidian Way and the Perlemian trade route. Most of the Second Fleet is positioned coreward of the Hapes Cluster, near Borlias. Elements of the First and Fifth are deployed at Coruscant, Kuat, Chandrilla, Kaminor, and Fondor. Fleet strength and disposition get us only so far, Sav said after a moment. It's more important that we achieve some understanding of the Yuuzhan Vong as a species. Exactly what sort of beings are we dealing with? Legorberu scanned faces in the console displays. Dr. Eichroth, perhaps you'd care to shed some light on the Admiral's question. Joy Eichroth's hologram did justice to her fair-haired allure. Briefly married to Admiral Drayson, she still worked with him as an operative in Alpha Blue, a covert branch of New Republic Intelligence. One of the first to have a look at a Kella recovered on Maltha Obex some years earlier, she was currently a member of the xenobiology team tasked with compiling a profile on the Yuuzhan Vong. Essentially, we are dealing with a near-human species, Eichroth said, both externally and internally, excepting, for the moment, the semi-sentient reptoid proxy troops the Yuuzhan Vong deployed at Dantooine, Garki, and Ithor. This is borne out by the fact that Jedi Master Luke Skywalker suffered no ill effects after donning both a Yuuzhan Vong coral skipper cognition hood and an organic breathing apparatus. However, the examples we've autopsied present some intriguing puzzles. Holographic representations of three Yuuzhan Vong appeared above the light table, rotating slowly while Eichroth continued. The distinctions you see, this one's curiously elongated head, this one's auxiliary ribs, the deep patterns etched into the torso of this one, may indicate the existence of separate lineage groups among the Yuuzhan Vong. What is clear is that they undergo what must be excruciating physical alterations in service to some religious or warrior ideal. In any case, the uniformity of the disfigurements and markings suggest a complex social hierarchy. This is fully consistent with the nature of Yuuzhan Vong applied science, which, from what we've been able to determine, is based exclusively on a form of animated technology. The use of bioreactors, neuroengines, and biological weapons is indicative of a species that places great importance on organic rather than artificial innovation. Where we invent machines, they create life forms that serve the same function as machines. Can they be brought down? Abbott asked above the murmur of several separate conversations. They are taller and heavier than most humans, Eichroth said. They are strong on an individual basis, and in some instances enhanced or encased by living armor. However, they can be killed by conventional weapons and apparently by Jedi lightsabers. Baphor tree pollen shows promise as an allergen that affects the armor, but it will be some time before the pollen can be synthesized in the amounts needed to serve as an effective deterrent or biological agent. Still, each encounter has furnished us with additional data as to their weak points, psychological, anatomical, and social. Silence prevailed until Commodore Brand, former commander of the 5th Fleet cruiser Indomitable, and the most curmudgeonly of the cardinal commanders, drummed his thick fingers loudly on the console. All the while I've been sitting here listening to these reports, I've been asking myself one question. What is it they ultimately want from us? If this war is about territory, resources, religion, some injustice committed by one of us so far in the past, we don't even have a record of it? Do the Yuuzhan Vong consider us vermin like the Yavithan Duskan League did? Or do they want our life energies as the Cyrook did? Anyone who might have been formulating a reply was interrupted by the communications technician. Sirs, he said, addressing Sav and his peers, I have Director Scour with an urgent message he says should be heard by all of you. Sav muttered a curse. All right, activate isolation and patch him through. A half-size hologram of the Director of New Republic Intelligence resolved within the sonic containment field that sequestered the commanders. Admiral, I just received word of an incident that occurred in the Meridian sector early yesterday, standard time. The cadaverous scour began. The good news is that the light cruiser Soothfast engaged and destroyed an enemy vessel near Exodo 2. The better news is that two Yuuzhan Vong who jettisoned in an escape pod were captured alive. But the intriguing news is that the captives have requested political asylum. His round black eyes, even glassier than normal, Sav reclined in his seat and glanced in astonishment at Abad and Brand. "Well, gentlemen, it seems we may be about to learn what the Yuuzhan Vong want after all."